you talk about, at least, with the rock stars, all the travel you've done, but you've also traveled the world studying medicine. You mentioned a little bit with indigenous healers, China, India, Thailand, Brazil. You're in Mexico now. How did these global journeys influence your leadership and mindset around healing and purpose? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Purpose Pivot, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I am so excited to introduce you to, if you don't know her already, Dr. Gabrielle Francis, who is the Urban Alchemist. If you don't know that already, you're going to go to her website and learn lots about it. But here's why today is special. I mean, so many reasons, but you know those times when you hear about a woman or a person that's so integral to other people's lives, and over they tell you you need to meet this person, and then it finally happens? Well, that was me. A week ago at one of my book events, and Dr. Francis came thanks to my good friend Kirma, who's been talking about her. And I mention her in my book as well for so many years. And so I'm so excited not just to be able to sit down with her, but to introduce her to you as well. As I mentioned, she is the Urban Alchemist, is kind of, I guess, your tagline. And she's been practicing holistic medicine for over 35 years. She was a neuropathic doctor, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, my tongue's not working today, and a massage therapist. And we are going to learn so much from her. But what I love the most is that it's from a holistic, natural point of view. And I think we all could learn so much from that. So, Dr. Francis, thank you so much for being on with us today.
It's an honor to be with you, Melissa. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I gave everybody the highest level introduction, and like my tongue wasn't even working right saying half the words, so it's Monday. But can you tell the audience a little bit more about you, just high level for those who might be meeting you for the first time?
So, I'm a naturopathic doctor, chiropractor, acupuncturist. I also do massage and I practice. I have a private practice in New York City in the Soho neighborhood where I see private patients for all kinds of conditions and illnesses and imbalances, let's say, help them navigate their healing journey. I also have a traveling business called Backstage Alternative, where I tour with rock stars and work as their doctor on tour. And I did that for many years, but now I mostly see them when they come to town or going to different festivals that I'm
Wait,
interested in.
before we go on, you're gonna like that's you're dropping that, and we need to know more. Name some of these rock stars.
I mean, I've been doing that since I was 19, so there's pretty much almost everybody that I've worked with, and for everybody from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Aerosmith, Bruce Springsteen, the Rolling Stones,
So cool.
on. But it's been, in the 90s, I was on all of the Lollapalooza tours, so. I spent a lot of my career in that business, and I wrote a book called The Rockstar Remedy that kind of really showed the intersection between how people can actually have a full life, live, travel, party, and celebrate life, but still be healthy, because that's kind of what I did my whole career, is help people navigate their lifestyle, but still stay healthy in the context of their lifestyle. And so I wrote that book that came out in 2015. And so I practice, but I also travel a lot, and I travel and I study medicine with different healers throughout the world. That traveling started while I was touring with the bands. And whenever I wasn't on tour, I would go to different countries and just immerse myself in the healing and their traditions and meet the local healers. And I feel that after my 17 years of medical school, it was the working with indigenous healers that really kind of brought the soul of medicine into my practice. And so, somehow I combine all of these things, and it's really cool. I love it.
So, you've been practicing natural medicine for more than 3 decades, and you have had amazing experiences with people who live larger than life on stage. And, your work spans neuropathy and functional medicine. And so, what drew you into this field originally?
It was really my family. They were immigrants from Lebanon and didn't have a big trust for the Western medical system. So my dad and my mom found like the local chiropractor, massage people, healers. And this was in Cleveland, Ohio. So like it wasn't, the holistic capital of America, but they found these people. And we kind of believed in that more than we believed in Western medicine. And I got my first chiropractic adjustment at age 12 and said, "Oh, I want to be able to do that for people." So I'm very young. I was a massage therapist by the time I was 18. I was a chiropractor by the time I was 23. And I just continued to go on into naturopathic and acupuncture. So by the time I was 30, I had all of those degrees, and I combined it in my first practice touring with rock stars because I had always been working in the music business since I was 19. And just the bands that I started to had always worked with started to ask me to go on tour with them. So my first real practice was actually traveling around the world for 15 years, actually, and that's how incorporated all my medicine together. So, yeah, and it was cool because I think what it for me that story is like what I always loved was travel, music, and healing, and somehow that all became what I did, just not with even an intention of it, but kind of I was on that journey. I didn't feel like I had to be boxed into a certain way of being.
I love that. I love that. And I think people underestimate that. Like worlds could collide and come together, and you being able to bridge that is amazing. The name The Urban Alchemist is a little evocative in a great way. Where did that identity come from, and what does it mean for you in the context of your work and your life?
So my favorite book was always The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It's about a boy on a journey and his transformation as he sets out and puts his intention on the journey. And I've always believed that healing is more of a journey than a destination. That when you set off on a path of healing, not like it's going to end sometime. It's going to keep evolving. You're going to keep growing. And the characters and healers and practices that are meant to come to you are going to come on that journey. So I love the word alchemist, and I also love it because to me, an alchemist is somebody that helps to transform something from a lower vibration to a higher vibration. And I believe that that's what healing is too. We take those sufferings and imbalances that we have, and we transform them into something that's learning in body, mind, and spirit. And I was wandering around Soho. I had just started my practice, and the download of urban came to me because it was like, but I used herban, Herban,
Ah,
play on the word.
I love that.
Urban Alchemist.
Yes. Well, I love those play on words, and I love what you talk about the journey because, I think that that is one of the things people forget, and it's so hard to give yourself grace when you're just results oriented and you want things immediately. And we live in this world of immediate satisfaction, and I think it prevents you from celebrating the little milestones along the way of improvement that you're getting, and they all build upon each other to get to the larger result.
Yeah, because I think too much people focus on this final destination and you miss being in the present moment and all the people and experiences you're going to have along the way. Because as people should know when they travel, it's not getting to the Taj Mahal that you remember. It's not the Taj Mahal. It was the actual adventure on the way and the people you met and the experiences, sometimes not the good experiences too, that made that memory so real and tangible. And I believe that when we're on a healing path, it's the same way.
No, absolutely. I'm going through that myself, and through my book tour, kind of the conversations we end up having, you see that. I witness it live, and it's so powerful. You talk about, at least, with the rock stars, all the travel you've done, but you've also traveled the world studying medicine. You mentioned a little bit with indigenous healers, China, India, Thailand, Brazil. You're in Mexico now. How did these global journeys influence your leadership and mindset around healing and purpose?
Well, even to this day, I'm kind of considered like a master healer of some sorts. But every time I go into one of these cultures, I'm very humbled. I'm humbled by the people who came before me to bring this medicine to us. And there's so much ancient wisdom in all these indigenous cultures that's been passed down from generation to generation, and it has a whole cultural context to it. And I think learning the depth of this healing and the origins of it has been so beautiful, and it's taught me about the soul and spirit behind medicine. And it really made me pivot to the importance of honoring these traditions in their form and honoring those healers too, because, our modern way of using ancient technologies, whether it's superfoods or beauty rituals or spiritual things from other cultures, is we take one thing from it, we kind of exploit it for our own use and for our own thing, but we don't honor the culture that it came from and the healers that are sharing it with us. And I kind of pivoted to try to make that part of my mission, to kind of give honor to those cultures, to teach people about those cultures, because when we understand where this healing came from and more about it, it enriches our own healing process instead of just that one thing. But also by pivoting it back and showing, honoring those healers, it helps to keep it alive in their cultures, because in a lot of those cultures, these medicines are dying out because of globalization and religious influences. And our interest in them is actually bringing them back to life in those cultures. So for me, it's sharing it with modern people so that they have an enriched experience and see a connection to other people in the globe, but also to keep it alive in those cultures and keep it, something special for the younger generation to learn from.
I love that. I love that. And it's, yeah, I mean, we can go into this topic so much in the conversation, but I love that you're able to kind of absorb these things and bring it back to others, and doing it in a very meaningful way. You talk a little bit about pivot, and one of the things that I'm very much kind of exploring in my journey with the purpose pivot is, for many high achieving women leaders, health and energy can become neglected, right? When
Oh,
careers take
yeah.
over. So what's your vantage point, right? What are the most common health leadership pitfalls you see, and how do you help people pivot back from that?
Well, definitely, I think that leaders and people who have that leadership ability are very high achieving, and they try to be everyone and everything all the time. Right? They're very high achieving, but they go, 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 and they never recharge. And I think what happens is they start operating with no charge on the battery and no gas in the tank. So they look great, they're put together, they're beautiful. They look like they're functioning well on the outside. It's like the body of the car is perfect, but deep inside they're exhausted. I call it tired and wired. They're revving all the time, but at a deep level, they're exhausted, because if you never shut off the gas, if you never shut off the engine, you can't charge the battery and fill up the gas tank. And so what I find is most of these people are operating with adrenal fatigue, thyroid imbalances, hormone imbalances, and so they're healthy but not operating at 100%, and it's manifesting as fatigue, insomnia, anxiety, almost a detached quality to what they're doing. They're not actually able to enjoy it fully. Almost like on the outside, they're one person, on the inside, they feel completely different. And, you know, that's something I really try to work with high-level people, is to start to replenish them from the inside out so they can actually be more present and enjoying the things they're doing. And not just sit in the driveway and do local errands, but they could actually think about the cross-country trip, which is like all the extra things, from personal things to new creative endeavors to starting new businesses. That's the cross-country trip, but you can't do that if your tank is only a quarter full.
Yeah, I love that analogy, you know, because I always think about that, right? You seem put together on the outside, but when you're depleted on the inside, you know, I'll feel those moments where I know I can't think straight and somebody's talking to me and I totally can't fully concentrate on what's being said because like my wires are just, you know, and I'm running on empty. And I think we push and push and push without really giving recognition that we actually don't have to push that hard. We just need to make better prioritization of how we're caring for ourselves, and we're, you know, we're getting the nutrients, we're getting the rest, we're getting the things, and we actually could probably perform doing all those things at a higher level without feeling that. Like, I think we have to disequate ourselves from, is that a word? From, I have to feel like I'm at the edge like that all the time in order to be successful.
Yeah, because, you know, I just see so much time, so many times where people are doing what they love, but they're not feeling that love, because they're so disconnected from it, because they're so depleted. And so there's that disconnect between what the world sees and how they feel, and then they often feel like they're a charlatan, or they don't, they feel guilty, you know, a lot. I see that a lot with mothers too, with a new baby, and they're so depleted. They got this baby that they love, but they aren't enjoying it the way they should. And because so much of the time when you see doctors, they're looking only at the body of the car, and they see you and you look healthy, and they did your general body of the car labs, and they're like, "You're fine." And you're like, "I don't feel fine." Because they're not really looking under the hood at the hormone balance, at the thyroid, at the adrenals, at the nutritional levels, to see if this person is really operating at their full potential.
So when somebody starts working with you, like, what does that first consult look like?
So when they come in, I do a complete intake, and I ask them about their main problem, but we go through their whole health history. And then I always find out what their goals are, like, what do they want to get out of this? And then I put together kind of like what I see is going on. But, you know, one of the things I always do is challenge them to dream bigger, because people think very small about their health. They'll have a simple goal, or they'll think, but you know, I try to stretch what's possible for them and then show them the path that we need to take to get there. And you know, it's kind of it's a pivot in their mindset, let's say, since using, you know, it's a purpose pivot in their health and what they believe is possible for their health and vitality. And so I do the intake. I'll often offer nutritional advice, sometimes supplements, order lab testing. I do treatments, chiropractic massage, acupuncture, to support whatever we're doing and what they're coming in for. And yeah, so it's fun.
That holistic, I mean, I'm a big believer in the holistic. I've learned a lot through my process, and you know, I've started to take more full blood panel tests and learning so much, like you're saying, the DNA markers and your hormone levels and your levels of metal and so many things we just don't think about. You have what you call an RX Star Remedy Detox, a program you describe it as a whole person transformation. So let's break that down, right? In your view, what does detox mean beyond the body? And tell us a little bit about this remedy program you have.
So I believe that the body is a metaphor for things happening emotionally, spiritually, and actually socially in our environment as well. So I see the detox as a ritual, like a rite of passage, when people come to me, I like to start with it because I'm like, before we build and balance and add new things to your life and your plan, we have to first reset, release, let go of the things that are no longer serving you. And I believe that when we do it in the body, it's happening emotionally and spiritually too. And so, a lot of times I'll order lab work, but I'll start people on my cleanse. So the cleanse involves, from the nutrition perspective, I put them on a smoothie that helps to detox the liver and the gut, and then we clean up their diet as much as possible because I don't expect perfection. I've been working with rock stars, for gosh sakes, you know?
I mean, that's a whole behind the scenes story, I'm sure.
So I say, let's do 90-10, 90% good stuff, 10% you can cheat, because I want people to work this into their lifestyle. Okay.
Yes.
The 1 month plan, smoothie for breakfast, clean diet. Then when it comes to the body, we're thinking about the type of exercises that support detoxing, which are more like aerobic exercise, yoga, nothing too intense. And then there's body treatments like steam, sauna, scrubs, lymphatic drainage. They can always incorporate those kind of things. From the mind and spirit, I call that the free spirit. And this is the time during this detox where you want to talk to your therapist about things you're trying to release. You might make a inventory of things that you want to let go of. This is a time to clear resentments, forgive people, do your mindfulness exercises that help to kind of support releasing and cleansing. And from the lifestyle, it's a time to take a little bit every day to do a digital detox just to create space, to sleep more, be out in nature. And I like people to clean up their home and beauty supplies, get rid of the things that are full of toxins, to recycle, and create a feng shui in your living space and workspace where energy can flow in better. And what I find often is that when people are doing this in their body, mind, and spirit, and home, that they find a pivot in their lifestyle and their meaning and their career or their purpose in life. And it gives them a chance to kind of really say, like, how am I serving myself and others? What do I need to let go of? And you want to kind of start to like bring that awareness to your entire life. And I see people doing this a lot in their career. If I know somebody just quit their job but didn't start looking for another job yet because they're a little lost, I'm like, the detox is a great rite of passage for you right now.
I love that, and I love how holistically you talk about it. I mean, you do call it a whole person transformation, but still, I think it's easier for people to say, I'm going to cleanse, I'm going to do the smoothie, I'm going to work out, and they disconnect the correlation between the mental wellness and the opportunity they have of, seeing what their triggers are and their stresses and understanding the association of what those things are releasing in their bodies that also contribute to a less healthy state.
Have you ever done anything like that for yourself, or?
I mean, I feel like I kind of went through a natural journey just from my own medical experience where it caused me to pause. I wasn't really going to be able to fully go back to the life I was living for a few months. And so in that, I went through my own exploration, and to your point, it's a journey. I haven't perfected. I have more to go. I have, but I do things differently, or I'm at a minimum much more cognizant of like, okay, remember that feeling? It's happening. Like maybe you should reevaluate how you're prioritizing your time or what you're giving space to or how you're reacting to something. So it's a practice for sure, but I love the way you talk about it so holistically because I do think so many people underestimate, it's kind of a matrix of things that contribute to your well-being.
Yeah, and you know, like every religious and spiritual tradition has something like this incorporated into it, and this just kind of adds the physical and the social to it. And I think of it like once people do it, they're like they want to do it more regularly. Like maybe for some people it's a once a year. Some people it's a couple times a year, or sometimes just when they're going through a transformation in their life and their career, or a divorce, or something where they need something to kind of ground them and clear out the old energy in order to create space for new energy to come in.
Yeah, well, what you talk about, I think over time, for me anyway, I'm feeling this level of intuition I didn't have before. Like I'm recognizing like this isn't the right way to spend my time or not. And you talk about right through this whole transformation, that mind body medicine and the intertwining of like mind body functional environmental medicine being interconnected. How do you coach women leaders to trust the intuition that they may have when their body or their energy is signaling something? And how are you teaching them to recognize it, embrace it, and then take whatever necessary step?
Well, after I do my intake with people, and I ask them what their goals are, one of the questions I always ask is, if you can check in with yourself intuitively, what do you think's wrong with you? And, they're always kind of taken aback by that because doctors don't usually ask that. But I personally believe people intuitively know what's wrong with them, or they know something's not right.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
People come to me and they say, I've been to all these doctors, they tell me there's nothing wrong. I'm like, you wouldn't be going to all these doctors if everything was right, And so with intuition, it's something that you can actually feel more in your body, like in your heart and in your gut. Often it's an inner knowing, and it's like almost that you feel sure about something emotionally, even though it might not seem logical. Intuition is usually not logical. It wouldn't make sense for somebody to quit their job when they don't have another job, for example. But they intuitively know they have to do that, like they can feel it. When it's intuition, you won't feel anxiety, fear, and worry usually. It'll feel like more peaceful, harmonious. And your focusing more is on the present and not on the past or the future. So there's this kind of serenity to that. And in order to tap into intuition, you really need space. And so a lot of people feel it when they go on a holiday and they have some space in their life, or if they're out walking in nature. Or definitely when they're unplugged from technology. So you have to create space to allow those feelings to come in because that inner knowing is not something logical. And it's also beyond other people's opinions. It's something that's just personal to you, and it shouldn't be clouded by other people's opinions.
Yeah, I love the way you break that down because I get asked that a lot too. Like, how do you define intuition? And to your point, I mean, not everybody's as receptive to it, and some of us are more wired to accept things that don't feel fully logical. And others need like complete logic. They need to analyze it in order to be able to trust it. For someone who's, juggling high demands like business and family and travel and public life, what are three non-negotiable energy practices you could recommend for them? Like things that feel attainable.
I mean, in order to stabilize your energy, you have to have nourishment. So I believe that you have to have meals with protein and a good amount of protein throughout the day to keep your blood sugar stable, to keep your nourished energy stable. I think it's very important to keep moving and moving in the day and sleeping at night. And even if you aren't, I don't re necessarily mean working out. But just keep yourself in motion, whether it's with household activities or walking to the train or this and that. Keep yourself physically moving, flexible, and sleep at night. And I think the other thing is to practice gratitude daily. That would be my third one.
I mean, it sounds like such an easy thing when you say it as a sentence, but so many people forget that, right? Especially high achievers when you're just going after the big thing and you forget to have those moments of gratitude of the things that happen along the way. You met somebody that opened a door, that made an introduction, that, let you see something differently than you had seen before. My conversation with you, they're all opportunities to take stock of the things you could be grateful for. When you're moving, 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 I think it's really hard to do that.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I never thought about it, but gratitude is a way of kind of saying a personal inventory of, yes, I achieved this. Thank you. And bring more on.
Yeah. So on the flip side, how do you advise leaders to create restorative rituals, right? That restore their mind, their body, the spirit, that also help them show up more powerful in their roles. You know, I think we forget that those restorative moments can elevate us too. What are some of the rituals you could recommend?
Well, I believe rituals are very important. One of the shaman that I study with in Peru told me that Western people are losing ritual because they're becoming so disconnected from their ethnic origins, from their families, and from their religion. And that ritual is a way of grounding spirituality into daily life. And so I believe that we should have our own personal rituals. Including things like your morning ritual of nutrition, maybe making a smoothie, taking supplements, eating healthy, a nighttime beauty ritual where
My
you're
daughter, who's 10,
glowing.
loves that already.
I heard they're getting really into that, which is like 2-hour beauty rituals. But I'm thinking more like a bath, a shower to clean the energy, but then something beautiful to nourish yourself and just that special time for yourself. Before bed, I believe, is an important ritual of disconnecting, clearing your mind, offering some kind of spiritual practice. I believe that family and community rituals where we're celebrating are very, very important. Whether it's a holiday or a birthday or a wedding, we should really, whenever we can, connect to those community rituals. And then, you know, some people create their own rituals that are around their own spiritual practices. Those are fine too. But it doesn't have to be so exotic. It could just be your day-to-day activity, but you're bringing awareness to it. Awareness that this is a time of intention and personal self time, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm embracing that more and more, and I love that you talk about that awareness and that sense of presence. Because these moments aren't check the box. Like, we need to be fully invested in those moments, and that's where you get the quality out of it. It doesn't need to be 2 hours, and everybody could meditate for 2 hours and all this stuff. And I think a lot of people feel like, I don't have time for that. And over
Yeah.
time, for me, I've been realizing it could just be a couple minutes. It's how I'm what I'm doing in those few minutes and being present in those few minutes that make all the difference.
Yeah, and in order to be successful in the healing journey, if you're, you know, is you have to set yourself up for success by giving yourself things that you can actually do, not
Right.
sabotaging. That's why even with my detox plan, I let people have space for going to parties, eating out, because I want them to succeed and I want them to be able to do this in the context of their lifestyle, not have to disconnect from their lifestyle, do this perfectly, and then go back to what they were doing before instead of that yo-yo, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why those fully liquid cleanses, like that people do for days. I'm like, what happens when you eat again? Because you're going to eat again. So, how do you see the intersection of health and purpose and kind of, you know, either career growth or leadership paths evolving over the next 5 to 10 years, right? Especially as you're seeing many who are starting to redefine what leadership and legacy looks like.
Well, I wrote an article called Health is the New Rock and Roll because I see that, you know, what people are really into now is health and wellness and personal growth. And I think that 5 to 10 years is actually happening now. I see it so much already with, in particular, with my perimenopausal and menopausal patients. They're on kind of transformative journey of going from this archetype of the mother to the queen. And the queen is like, I want to make the world a better place and have more fun myself. And so you'll see women really kind of their lives breaking apart in their 40s and they're redefining who they want to be in the world. And that always incorporates wanting to make the world a better place. So I see that happening now at a very big scale, especially with all of the talk around perimenopause and menopause coming around. But I also see the younger generation coming in the millennials and the Gen Zs actually coming in with more of that intention of wanting to kind of be more global, make the world a better place from the beginning. So, not all, but I do see that this change is already happening, actually.
Which is promising. And I think Alpha is going to be even more aware of it too, just their access to information and their
The difference,
awareness of
I would
things.
say, between the millennials and the Gen Z and the, let's say, the Gen X and the baby boomers is that they don't have the experience that comes with it. So, what would be nice is to kind of see the people with experience, almost like in other cultures where you have this honoring of the elders and the person who came, the people who came before you, and there's that mentorship. If there's more of this community connecting, you know, where people help to apprentice people. Unfortunately, I think with social media, a lot of young people think that you can just bypass that and go straight to the top. You know what I mean? And I believe that there is something about that journey and bringing the other generations in as part of it and that sharing. And then the older people learning from the younger people as well, because I love that too. I love that too. I'm learning
I
from.
mean, look, my mom, I know probably more about perimenopause than my mom, right? Because it just became more of an open dialogue more in this generation. And so, yes, it's two-way education.
Yeah, I love that. And that's one of the things I love about these cult other cultures is the generations all mix together and share and learn off of each other. And I'm hoping that with Western culture, that starts to happen more too.
Yeah. Well, I love everything you shared today. I love that you're dialing into us from Mexico and all your travels. And I love kind of, well-being being the new rock and roll. Yes to that. Before we end, I have a few rapid fire questions for you too. And I think these are things that the audience can really grab on to. So are you ready?
There.
Okay. Instinctive answers only. First, morning must-haves. What is one ritual or remedy that you personally never skip to start your day in order to be aligned and energetic?
Oh, my magic smoothie.
Oh, your magic smoothie. Okay, we're gonna have to look more into what's in that smoothie. Second, purpose in a word. If you had to distill your current purpose in one word, what would that be?
Adventure.
Since the rock and roll days, I love it. And then your pivot anthem, what song instantly recenters you or energizes you when you need a reset?
Let It Be by the Beatles.
I love this. And I wrote this not even thinking about your rock and roll history. And I'm like, if any person can give us a song, because there's such healing power in music, right? That I think you can also never underestimate. And I talk about that too, but I love that you shared that as a song that helps you recenter. But thank you so much for the conversation today. I think this is just, a window into getting to know you, especially for those who are watching or listening today. For those that want to continue to follow you, what's the best way to do that?
TheUrbanAlchemist.com. They can also call my office in New York at 646-596-8215. And you know, Melissa, thank you, because I feel like this your questions were so thoughtful, and I really enjoyed, you know, spending this time with you.
Yes. And like I said, it was so exciting to finally meet you and hug you last week after I've heard about you from so many women. So thank you for being on today. Again, everybody, you have to follow Dr. Francis. I can personally vouch for the number of women in my life that she'd made a difference for. And I'm glad that you've now just started to get to know her. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.